Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Tonight we're going to be doing a reading from the devotional, an adaptation of Paul David Tripp's Advent devotional. We're going to turn the lights out and I'm going to read from the Christmas tree here. So, Gary, we're ready to go. Very comfortable indeed. How the rest of you feeling? Songwriter wrote one of the courses, "Isn't he wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard. 'Tis recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful?" Jesus is wonderful. That means we ought to be in awe of who he is. He's wonderful in his preexistence before taking on a human nature. He's wonderful in his conception and birth of a virgin. He's wonderful in his life, never sinned. He's harmless, undefiled, holy in his sacrificial love. He's wonderful in his death. He didn't die for his sins, he died for my sins. He's wonderful in his resurrection after 3 days being dead. His spirit re-entered his body and he came back to life. He's wonderful in his present ministry, seated by God the Father, and is constantly praying for me. He's wonderful in his future, literal reign on earth, and then for eternity. Isn't he wonderful? He is indeed wonderful. This isn't part of my devotional reading, but let's just apply the truth of Jesus and his control of the universe in our lives. The control of the universe, the control of our lives, is kept by the power of his word. I heard Pastor Tom today referring to climate change. If you vote for somebody because you're afraid of climate change, whatever that means, you are really playing the fool. We couldn't destroy the earth if we wanted to. There's 1,007 years left, at least, way after you're gone. Just letting you know how the truth frees you from political lies. And why is that? Because he's wonderful. He says of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, "There is no more stirring and encouraging prophecy of the birth of Jesus than this. But I'm afraid that you can be familiar with this prophetic poem because you hear it every Christmas season, and yet miss the core message of its words. Isaiah is saying more than just that the Messiah was to come, would be wonderful in a variety of ways. Isaiah is preaching to us a truth that is way more profound, faith-stimulating, hope-giving, and life-altering than that. Take a moment right now to carefully examine and reflect on the names that Isaiah attaches to the son to be born and the things he says about him. On reflection, did you see Isaiah's radically hopeful message? With words carefully chosen because they were carefully directed by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah is telling us that the Messiah son is exactly what every sinner desperately needs. He is the ultimate answer to every destructive thing that sin does to us. Isaiah, with beautifully poetic words, declares to us that Jesus is all we need. He is a solution to the sin that we cannot avoid or escape. And long before we were born, God had appointed for us the one who would be the remedy for every symptom of the sin that would infect us all. So let's consider these words phrase by phrase. The government would rest on the shoulders of Jesus. What do sinners need? We need to be freed from the bondage of self-rule and welcome to the rule of the one who is the definition of everything that is good, right, and true, and loving. Jesus came to liberate us from the kingdom of darkness and transport us into the kingdom of love and light. This is essential because of our self-rule is our doom. I'm going to read some scriptures now with regard to that statement. The government will rest upon his shoulder. Applied. He died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Not that we have to govern ourselves anymore. But unto him which died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:15. I don't know about you folks, but I'm glad to be under the government of God. I hate to be out here on my own, all God's people say. Amen. Now we'll go to the second one. Jesus would be our counselor. He would guide us with his all-knowing wisdom. Sin reduces all of us to fools. In our foolishness, we see the world inside out and upside down. We look at what is false and see it as truth. We look at what is foolish and see wisdom. At the epicenter of our foolishness is a street-level denial of God. Not philosophical atheism, but a denial of our need for God and a belief that we can live life on our own. As our all-wise and wonderful counselor, Jesus comes to rescue fools from themselves. His statement on counselors applied now through the Word. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46:10. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and shall it be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11:34-36. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Proverbs 21:30. I really love that last one. Gives you real confidence in what the Lord says versus what men in our age are saying. Third observation, Jesus would unleash almighty power on our behalf. Sin just doesn't reduce us to fools, it also renders us unable. So Jesus came to do by divine power what we could not do for ourselves. Sin causes all of us to be unable to be what God designed us to be and to do what God created us to do. So Jesus would unleash his power to defeat sin and death and then empower us to desire and to do what we would not be able to do without his power working in and through us. Does anybody know where that promise is found? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. We're to be working out our own salvation, not for our salvation, but we're to be working out our salvation, that we're saved people in our lives of other people, in our own lives, working out every part that we're saved people. Why? Because he will energize. He'll work in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure. That's a wonderful promise. So if you're not sure what to do, eventually you'll know what to do if you really want to do God's will. He'll show you. Philippians 2:13, for God works in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the Holy Spirit's power. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It is so. It is true. And may it be in my life too. That's what amen means. It is so. It is true. May it be in my life too. The fourth observation that we see from Isaiah 9:6 is that Jesus would lavish on us his fatherly care. Jesus, by his life, death, and resurrection, welcomes us into his family once again. He is the door by which we have access to God. He lavishes his fatherly care and love, and we are blessed with all the rights and privileges of being his children, no longer separated, lost, alienated, and alone. We live forever as the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fatherly care. What did Jesus say? Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What did Jesus say when he said, go around preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel with people and advancing the kingdom? Matthew 28:20, he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. That means to be overwhelmed with something, overtaken by something. It means get out of your emotional bondage if you're ever in it. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. This one's very important too. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Our fifth observation out of Isaiah 9:6-7. Jesus' rule would never, ever end. Oh, I love that. It's not just our lifetime. It's well beyond our lifetime, folks. It's forever. How sweet it is to know that the blessing of the grace of the King who was to come would never, ever end. His grace would never grow weary. His grace would never run out. He would rule in grace, giving us every needed grace, now and for all eternity. This means that hope now and hope then would no longer rest on our wisdom, our strength, our performance, or our track record, but on His unstoppable rule of grace. Best is yet to come, amen? The applicational scriptures. Jesus' reign would be righteous in every way. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Psalm 145:17. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God. Did you notice the humility in that statement, David speaking? Yet he hath made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. 2 Samuel 23:3-5. David would have a kingdom that would be righteous. There would be one in his downline who would rule, and he would rule righteously. The seventh application that we see in these verses is that God would make sure what he had promised would happen. If he promised it, he's going to carry through on what he has promised. Don't you love people like that, by the way? If I said it, I'll do it. If I promised it, I'll carry it through. God would make sure that what he had promised would happen. And why can we bank on Isaiah's promises that all of our needs as sinners would be met in this way? We can bank on these things because God has placed his zeal upon every one of these promises. What does that mean? It means he will unleash his almighty power and authority to guarantee that all that was promised in the birth of Jesus would be delivered to each one of his children. There is nowhere you and I can look to find better news than this. So much more than decorations, gifts, a lot of food. This season is about hope for sinners carried into the world on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. In application, we should apply these things and talk to these things with one another, and particularly our children. We should talk to them about how many prophecies of Jesus' birth were made long before that first Christmas night, and try to help them understand that the fact that all these promises about Jesus came true, and that they mean we can trust all the promises that God makes to us in the future too. All God's people say, amen. Let me read the applicational verses then to this statement, that what he has promised, with zeal, the Lord of hosts will accomplish what he's promised. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Who's that? That's Abraham looking to God. He said, you're going to have a promised seed, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And he didn't have any children when that was promised. But he counted God faithful, Romans 4, 20 to 21. Excuse me. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted. We're a little resistant on occasion, amen? Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Who is the salvation that he's going to place in Israel? Jesus, his son. Isaiah 46, 11 through 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, 13 through 14. That's Jesus claiming to be God in that promise. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now I'm just going to let you know what's going to happen 1,700 years, at least from tonight. Don't you love it? Think about it. I'm letting you know now, tonight, that there's at least 1,007 years from this being fulfilled, but it's going to happen. It will happen. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I guess marriage is pretty important, amen. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. Our great God and Savior, we thank you for tonight, for allowing us to read these precious words. We know that you're coming again because you came the first time. All God's people say, amen. Come lead us in some more hymns.